darkest night. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you to all of our guests. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Good to have you here in the back row there. God bless you. Wonderful to have you here. Wonderful to have my good friend Fernando here with us. Praise the Lord. That beard gets a little bit more white every time I see you, brother. Praise God. No, it's all right. I mean, listen, my hair is probably white, more white too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you look great, man. I love you and I appreciate you. I love this man to death. I love each and every one of you. You can go ahead and be seated. Before we release the youth today in the Sunday school, we've got a little bit of an announcement to make, and we're really excited about this. God has been doing a great work in our Sunday school and our youth department. Amen. Hallelujah. I got two people say amen on that. God's been doing a great work in our Sunday school and youth department. Amen. And anticipating and wanting to help our young people grow, we knew that our one Sunday a month really wasn't enough. We wanted to provide an atmosphere where our teenagers can grow, they can learn the Bible, they can grow in their walk with God. And for many years, we didn't have any teenagers in the church. It was all young Sunday school children. But somehow they keep growing. So those Sunday school kids have now grown to become teenagers and youth. And so now we're trying to refocus, not that we're losing focus on the Sunday school, but we absolutely want to provide an opportunity for our young people to get a hold of God and to see what the Lord's able to do for their lives. I believe HPPC is a powerful church. Hallelujah. And I know right now we've got some people out sick and things like that, but this is a powerful, worshipful church that has great faith, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Hallelujah. But I started to think to myself, what would happen if we took this great church and added to it a powerful, excited youth group that loved God, knew the Word of God, knew how to worship, knew how to pray. Oh, I tell you, it could transform the church. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got together, Brother Kavan. Brother Kavan is our youth pastor. We got together and said, how can we add to our youth department? We knew we couldn't take them out on Sunday mornings, because this is an opportunity for them to hear the Word of God, to come to the altar, get a hold of God. We didn't want them to lose out on that experience. So we started to look at many other churches. Almost every church we found, they had youth group on Wednesday nights. Growing up, my church had youth group on Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, we did a youth class, and we'd have games and a Bible study, fellowship, it is a proven method to work. So we decided, and this is actually, and I'm gonna tell on Brother Kavan right now, not tell on him, but lift him up a little bit. He made the decision that he's gonna commit to every Wednesday night doing a youth class for our young people. Hallelujah. Oh, I felt the Holy Ghost when I said that. Praise the Lord. I tell you, this is going to be a huge commitment on the church, a huge commitment on Brother Kavan, who works most of the time all the way, or lives all the way in Fort Pierce. He drives here for services, but he has made the commitment because he believes, and we believe, in the future of our church and our young people, and we're willing to put in the work to make sure they know God, they know the Scripture, they know how to pray, and they've got a social group in the church that they can connect with. Hallelujah. So here's the deal. Parents, you don't bring your young people on Wednesday nights. Let's just lay it out flat. So I'm asking you to start bringing them. Starting the beginning of April, we will start having Wednesday night youth class. It will be going on simultaneously with the teaching in here. Parents, I'm asking you, hallelujah, let's step up. Let's show our children that they are a priority. Let's bring them Wednesday nights to church. Let's give them an opportunity to hear the Word of God and to connect with other young people. I'm going to say this. I was a youth pastor for 8 years before I became a pastor. Your young people are going to have friends. You have to decide who their friends are going to be. How do you do that? You put them with the right people. And just releasing them to school half their lives, they're going to make friends at school. Maybe that's a good group. Maybe it's not a good group. I don't know. But here's one thing I do know. If we bring them to youth, we pray they're going to be with godly young people who also love God, who also want to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. We've got to create a culture where our young people are excited to come to church. Parents, it starts with you. Here's the thing. We believe in this so much, because I know right now some of the parents are going to say, well, I can't do it. I've got work, things like that. I do understand it. But Brother Kavan, Sister Meehan, and I, we believe in this so much that if absolutely you cannot bring them on Wednesday nights, we will come pick up your kids and bring them. We will take time out of our day in order to make sure your young people get here. That's how much we believe in the future of our young people. Hallelujah. Oh, and let me just say this, and I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I believe we've got young people. Wasn't this amazing today, Brother William, it wasn't his first time, but this was his first scheduled time playing the drums today. Wasn't that awesome to see? Amen. Hallelujah. Today was the first time Sister Scarlett sang. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that's just the beginning. I believe in this youth group, we've got preachers, we've got pastors, we've got evangelists, we've got missionaries, we've got prophets, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do through our HPPC youth. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Kavon. He's going to give a little more detail.
Amen, church. Amen. Amen. So, as Pastor said, that I'm supposed to be switching to having, like, you know, the youth, like, you know, from Sundays to Wednesday, every Wednesday, and then I do believe that this is, like, you know, a positive thing and a good thing. Amen. Amen. Because since that we have, like, you know, I'm the youth class, so once a month on Sundays, amen. I have seen, like, you know, the growth, like, you know, in these kids, amen. And then if we change it, like, you know, to have, like, you know, every Wednesday, their growth, like, you know, it's going to to increase, amen. Amen. And then also, like, you know, as my brother said earlier, like, you know, it takes a village, like, you know, to help to raise a child, amen. And the church, like, you know, is, like, you know, I'm your village, amen, amen. So, like, you know, and this is good, like, you know, for, like, you know, their spiritual growth, amen, and to help them, like, you know, for their future, amen. So, like, you know, so again, like, you know, all three of us, like, you know, believe that this is a good and positive things, amen, amen. So, like, so what, like, you know, so what is going to happen in the class is going to be, like, more of more structure, more curriculum, amen. Like, you know, they're gonna, like, you know, I'm learning, like, you know, the Bible, amen. I'm gonna like have a relationship with God and maintain a relationship with God, amen. And that is the most important thing, amen. Because all these kids, like, you know, they are starting out on their journey, amen, to having a relationship with God, and, like, we have to, like, you know, we have to encourage it and to foster it, amen, amen. And then I know that, but having the class, like, every Wednesday, amen, it will help that, amen. Amen. And then I'm going to pass it over to Sister Mitrashika to share her testimony. Amen.
Praise the Lord. So a couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of sharing my testimony on a Wednesday night, but I left a little bit out that I'd like to share with you today because I am a product of a youth group. I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for the youth group at my church when I was growing up. And you know, for the most part, I was raised in church, but when I was 11, my parents divorced, and it just shook my whole world, right? And that's such a pivotal age, and to have that happen just emotionally, you know, of course, it was difficult, and so I'm so glad that being raised in church, I knew who to call on, right? I knew where to go, and that is my heart as the Sunday school teacher, to make sure that our children, when they get to that age, when hardship starts to happen and they start to face things, that they know where to go. But as I began to, you know, the freshness of the wound began to fade, I found myself just kind of going through the motions. And I will be completely honest with you, I was only going to church to see my friends. That was the only reason. And it wasn't for God. It wasn't for anything like that. I just didn't want to miss the hangout after service, right? After church on Wednesdays, all the youth group would, you know, there'd be youth class and they'd have fellowship or they'd have games and things like that. And so I was going there for that. And now, you know, sometimes the music would move me and sometimes the message would touch me if I wasn't, you know, passing notes the whole time, because before cell phones and stuff, you'd write little notes and you'd pass them, say, hey, pass it down four people, and they'd pass it down to your friend, you'd be passing notes and stuff. And so, you know, so sometimes I would get something, and you know, it'd last for a little while, and then I'd go back to going through the motions. And I'd go to church camp in the summer, and I'd come back on fire for God. But then after a little while, it would be I was going back through the motions until one day it all changed. One day the worship songs just hit a little bit differently, and the sermon brought me to my knees, and I began to read the Bible on my own without it being a part of some youth or church program, and God began to draw me closer, and I decided for myself that I was going to live for Him and not for anyone else. And then I began to come for God, and it wasn't for my friends, it wasn't for the programs, it wasn't for the benefits that I was going to receive, but it was for God. And parents, you never know. The song, the sermon, the altar call, the moment that your child is going to make that decision for themselves. But one thing that I can tell you is they're not going to be able to experience it if they're not here. And so I just want to encourage you to give them every possible opportunity to be able to make that decision. And I know that it can be a sacrifice. I know I worked just to walk in the front door, to go immediately to the kitchen, to have 30 minutes to cook dinner, to have 30 minutes for us to eat and get back out the door. I understand that. Hallelujah. But I know that I want to give my children every possible chance to have a relationship with God through adulthood, because we know the things that they are facing. This world is unrelenting. Hallelujah. And so we have to be even more unrelenting in our efforts to try to get our young people here and to receive God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so I just want to encourage you, please bring them. We're so excited for what God is going to do in your young people. And Sunday school, I know you're excited. You can go ahead and be dismissed. And I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor.
How about we stand to our feet and just lift up our hands. Our Sunday school can be dismissed. Youth, you can be dismissed to the Sunday school wing with Brother Kavan. How about the rest of us just lift up our hands and begin to pray, Lord? Oh God, we feel a drawing, Lord Jesus, of your Spirit in this house. For Lord, you are working in our hearts. You're working in our minds. Lord God, you're wanting to do a work in this place. Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do in our young people. We thank you for what you are doing. And we pray, God, continue to do that work in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. If you could, while you're standing, go in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I might do a little teaching today, if that's all right. But I do feel a word from God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. When you have it, say amen. 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 Everybody can say amen because it's on the screen, right? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Everybody say the glory of God. For which cause? What cause? Well, it's the glory of God is the cause. I don't know about you, but I want the glory of God in my life. Hallelujah. For which cause we faint not, even though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17 is the one that I'd like to focus on and draw a sermon title from. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You believe that promise today? Amen. Hallelujah. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Today, and I know we've got guests today. I promise you this isn't something I preach on every Sunday, but today we're going to get into it. Praise God. I want to preach for a little while on the eternal weight of glory. The eternal weight of glory. I feel the presence of God. If we could, one more time, lift up our voices, ask the Lord to speak to us. Hallelujah. Won't you make a personal plea? Lord, I open up my heart to you. I ask you to speak to me, Lord Jesus. Help me to understand your word. Help me to understand your will for my life, Lord God. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for conviction to flow, but also encouragement. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our eyes, Lord, today. Lord, I believe this message will be the reason why somebody's going to make it to heaven. Lord God, I believe, Lord Jesus, you're going to speak and minister specifically into the hearts of your people. Lord, let me say what you want me to say, nothing more and nothing less. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Today we're talking about the eternal weight of glory. He says in this verse that the outward man may perish, yet we recognize there is something going on the inside. Hallelujah. Anybody have something going on the inside of you where you know God is working in you? Amen. I guess just one person. Anybody else know God's working inside of you? Amen. Hallelujah. And right now, our church is in the middle of an extended fast. We've been going now about 10 days, maybe a little bit more. Fasting, we're to a point where we are fasting everything but fruits, vegetables, and nuts. And I don't know about you, but that on top of the sickness, on top of my work being crazy, I'm a little worn out today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I know there's a couple of people who called me yesterday from the church just saying, hey, you know, I'm just worn out. I'm going to take the day to rest. Sometimes you just got to take the day to rest, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because it seems that the outward man, it just continually perishes. It's to a point, hallelujah, in our lives that it is starting to fade and not to grow stronger, but rather to grow weaker. It's as if it's fading out of our hands, something that we're losing, hallelujah. But I'm so thankful that there's something on the inside of me that I cannot lose, hallelujah, that will not fade away, that will not be lost to me, and that is the Spirit and the glory of God in my life. Amen. For Paul begins to offer to us a comparison. He makes note of our affliction. And I believe there might be some people in this house, you came because of affliction in your life. Because something in your life is not going the way you thought it would. Something in your life continually seems like it messes up. You go and then you stop. Then you go and then you stop. It is that affliction. And I'm not here today to make light of your affliction, but that's exactly what Paul did, right? He says, this is but a light affliction. But I don't know about you, but when I'm in the middle of it, it doesn't feel so light. If you're like me, you could be having a great week. Things be going good. Then all of a sudden, one thing goes wrong. Something bad hits you. And then you start thinking to yourself, oh, my life is a wreck. Am I right? I stub my toe. What's the purpose of life? Seems like everything that happens, it blows up our world, and it's hard to see how life can continue after this. Hey, I've had a few times in my life where things have fallen on me and things have happened where I truly just didn't know, where do I go from here? How do I get past this affliction? But here's one thing I've learned, whether it be in the Holy Ghost or just age has taught me. Listen, life keeps moving on. Hallelujah. And though mourning may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is compared to a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm here to tell, I'm sorry for whatever is going on in your life. I'm sorry if something bad or terrible has happened to you. I'm not here to undermine it, but to only remember and consider the fact that we're on our way to something much better than this. Come on, church. We're on our way to something much better than this. We're on our way to a glory that cannot be compared to it. Go ahead, sister. And when I consider my affliction compared to the weight of the glory which shall be revealed unto me, I realize how small it really is. I realize how insignificant it truly is. But one day I shall be with the Lord, and the affliction that I feel now, it'll hardly be a blimp on the map. Oh, come on now, somebody worship the Lord today. I know it's a big deal right now, hallelujah, but the Lord's going to get you through this. It seems like a big deal right now, but the Lord's going to get you through this. And when He does, one day you're going to look back and you're going to realize it was just one day. It was just one experience. It was just one weakness. It was just one downfall. But when I consider the eternal weight of glory, it's just a blimp. But I've got the rest of eternity to spend with the Lord. Oh, somebody worship God today. If you're excited about the weight of glory in your life. Before we recognize, and I'm here to prophesy to somebody's life, that affliction is not there to destroy you, but that affliction is there to position you. Hallelujah. That affliction is not there to destroy you, but that affliction is there to position you. Why? Because the Lord's got better for your life. The Lord has something better for your life. The Lord's got a peace which passeth all understanding. The Lord's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And if it means I got to go through the mess in order to get to the glory, then I don't know about you, but let me go through the mess, because I know it's just a light mess. But the glory is going to be brilliant. It's going to shine brighter than the stars in the heaven. That's where we're headed, brothers and sisters. Oh, I wish the church would wake up today and get with me. There's a whole bunch of guests here today who need you to worship the Lord today. Come on, brothers and sisters. Don't sit like a bump on the log. Worship the Lord. Let the Lord get the praise and the honor. Come on, somebody stand to your feet right now. Push past your flesh and begin to worship God. Hallelujah. For Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You're on your way to something greater. You're on your way to a glory that you never could have imagined. And listen, you're on your way to a glory that you never could have gotten if it wasn't for the affliction. But today there's a purpose in your affliction. There's a purpose behind the pain. Oh, Atarama Sandi. There's purpose behind the hardships. I know today we're the higher purpose, but let me tell you, we don't just believe we have a higher purpose. We believe we have an eternal purpose. We believe that our actions today don't just affect today, but it affects our eternity. And that what happens to me today, listen, that it seems like it's a huge deal. It's because it is. It's because this affliction is, it's paving the pathway to an eternal glory. And it's a big deal because the lesson is so essential. Can I talk to you for a moment about glory and eternal glory? Hallelujah. The fact is today is that we are eternal beings. It's hard to see past the flesh. Hard to see past the right now. Hard to see past what is happening today. But I'm here to tell you this life is just a small part of who you are. Is this okay today? James chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get grain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." In other words, saying, why are you sitting here fretting and planning your lives out like this is all that matters? He says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, a short time, just a minuscule time, but then it vanishes away." Listen, compared to eternity, this life is short. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying don't spoil your eternity because of a short, vanishing life today. What I do today affects eternity. Don't give up eternity because of what you want to do today. Scientists are still struggling with a logical explanation for the vast complexity of the human body and human beings. Though we've made great scientific strides, they still admit that they don't fully understand how we operate. It's because science can only study the physical. But today, you're more than just flesh and bones. You're more than just a body. There's more to you than that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. If I can get into a little bit of teaching, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit." Everybody say whole spirit. "And your whole soul." Everybody say whole soul. and your whole body, everybody say whole body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every human being is made up of three parts: the body, the spirit, and the soul. Genesis 2 and 7, which tells us of the creation of man, it establishes this idea that God formed man of the dust of the ground. From the earth, he put together Adam's body. He created the intricacies of our flesh, our bones, our organs, our veins, our eyes, our ears. All these things the Lord formed from the dust of the ground. And if that's true, and if that's all we were, we would be just as dead as the dust on the ground. Dust in itself does not have life. Dust requires something additional in order for it to come alive. So the Bible says that God himself took of the dust of the ground and he breathed into the nostrils of man and he breathed the breath of life. The Spirit of God was breathed into man. And it was the merging of the body and the spirit that created what we know as the soul of man. That's why it says, formed man of the dust of the ground, that's the body. Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, that's the spirit. And the combination of the two, man became a living soul. God, who is an eternal being without beginning or ending, he created something that had never been created before, and then he breathed his own breath into the life of man. The Bible says that they took on his form and likeness. This is what I believe. I believe what he means by that is that man became a living soul and then, like God, became an eternal being. Whether you like it or not, you are going to live forever. Is this all right today? Hallelujah. I know we're getting into a little bit of teaching, but we're heading somewhere. Whether you know it or not, you are an eternal being. You only live once is an absolute sham. Yes, you only live once in this life. Hallelujah. But then there's the life after it, and it doesn't stop going. And if you mess up this life, you might just mess up the rest of your eternity. I think we need to take a hard look at what we do today and compare it to the weight of an eternal glory. I want that eternal glory. Anybody else here today want that eternal glory? If you can, sister, put up that next slide about the body, the spirit, and the soul. The breath of life is what made us eternal creatures. The body was formed by God out of the dust of the earth. The spirit, which came into Adam as the breath of life when God breathed into him. And then the soul is the real person. The soul contains all that you are. It contains your essence. It contains your personality. And it was created by the union of the spirit from God and the body that comes from the dust. And I'm here to tell you, if the breath of life is what made us alive, then the expiration of the body does not mean death. I'm going to say that again. If the breath of life is what made you alive, then the expiration of your body does not mean death. Because when the body was formed, it wasn't alive. This flesh doesn't designate life. Living in this world doesn't mean that the flesh is alive. There's something deeper going on inside of you. So what happens when we die? What happens when the life of the flesh gives out? What happens to the body? It returns to the earth. Genesis 3:19. It says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, let me be clear. There's a limit to what I'm saying. At some point, as Christians, we will be given glorified bodies. But please just understand, give me some liberty right now to talk about what happens right now. What happens to the spirit? The Bible tells us that when this body passes, the spirit returns to God. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. But what happens to the soul? If we shed the body and the spirit is returned, what happens to the soul? The soul only goes to one of two places. It either goes to a place the Bible calls Hades, or another word would be hell, or to a place where Jesus called paradise. It also calls it the place of rest or heaven. And that's where the soul will await until the resurrection and the judgment. At resurrection, our bodies will return to our soul, but it will return with glorified body. But I'd like to make this point. There's only one of two places your soul is going to go. There's not a third place. Either my soul is going to go to Hades, or my soul is going to go to paradise. Matthew 25 and verse 46. Listen, if somebody dropped a pin in here, you'd hear it right now. I know nobody likes to preach about hell. You know that Jesus preached more about hell than anybody in Scripture? And if Jesus preached about hell, I think we ought to preach about hell. Matthew 25 and verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting or eternal punishment. But the righteous, they're going to go into life eternal. We talked about affliction. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be afflicted in this life but spend an eternity with the Lord in heaven. Anybody else with me there? Hallelujah. I'd rather go through some light affliction that is but for a moment, that I may obtain the eternal weight of glory that is to come. But here's the thing. If we're to dive a little deeper, we may say, I'll go through some hardship to get to heaven. But there's also, next to the eternal weight of glory, is the eternal weight of damnation. Sister, if you could throw up that next slide. There is an eternal weight of damnation. Oh, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it tells us that Moses, who had grown up an Egyptian, had all the blessings, privileges, sin of the Egyptians. That he chose to live a life of consecration with the Israelites and the people of God. Why in the world would you choose that, Moses? This is why it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction. There it is, affliction. I'd rather go through the affliction and obtain the eternal weight of glory than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Go back, if you can, to the weight of damnation. Some of you, if you're in the back row, you probably can barely see that red mark. And honestly, this is such a, this slide is lacking so much because I couldn't put an eternal line. But this is just one small comparison. That small little red mark resembles the pleasures of sin for a season. Such a small amount of pleasure compared to the weight of eternal damnation. Is that sin worth it, brothers and sisters? Would that small temporary amount of pleasure be worth it? It's so hard to see when you're in it. We already settled that, right? It's so hard to consider tomorrow when today is happening and we've got the opportunity to, hallelujah, take part in the sin and pleasure. But I'm here to tell you, somebody's got to open their eyes and begin to think long term and realize there is no sin that can be compared to the eternal weight of damnation. There is no pleasure that is worth spending an eternity in hell. There is no sin. There's no relationship that's worth it. There's no website that's worth it. There's no drug that's worth it. There is nothing worth spending an eternity. Come on, somebody, weigh it out. Somebody weigh it out today. Weigh it out. Put your scales out. Hallelujah. Is this worth it? Is that sin worth it? Is the sin worth it? The weight of eternal damnation. For with eternal damnation, the Bible tells us there is eternal darkness. With eternal damnation, the Bible says there is an eternal flame with eternal damnation. The Bible says there is eternal torment. With eternal damnation, the Bible says there is eternal unrest. With eternal damnation, the Bible says there is eternal pain. With eternal damnation, the Bible says there is eternal discomfort. And finally, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it tells us the greatest punishment of all. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? We're talking about an eternity without redemption, an eternity without salvation, an eternity without repentance, an eternity without power, an eternity without glory. An eternity without the presence of God. God gave me a fresh perspective the last couple weeks on this. A couple weeks ago, my job had inventory, and we deal with thousands of dollars, nearly $1 million in inventory. And it has to be this fresh count, and teams go out and count it and all this stuff. As the office manager, I'm not able to go count. Other teams have to do it. And I'll tell you, we had a fresh group of people. They didn't know how to count, apparently. We went through the inventory, and the very first variance that we pulled after all the counts were done, there was $50,000 of inventory missing. I tell you, my heart fell to my feet. So what in the world happening? So we got a list of more things to count, sent them out again. The next one, there's $15,000 worth of variances. Compared to almost $1 million, that's not that bad, but still, I said, this isn't right. And I tell you, there was an anxiety that came over me. It sat with me through the rest of the evening. So what am I doing wrong? I felt such an anxiety, just this feeling like it's over. I'm going to lose my job. My family's going to go hungry, and all of these things were just attacking me. I had such an anxiety feeling like this is it. It's all over. Well, thankfully, the next day, I decided I wasn't just going to put my career in their hands. I got the list, and I went out there, and I found nearly all of it. We just had pretty bad counters is what happened, praise God. But I can tell you, I had one of the roughest nights of my life. I felt an anxiety that I'd never felt before. And when it was all said and done in prayer, I felt the Lord speak to me and say, you know that momentary anxiety that you felt? Imagine that for the rest of eternity. Because I can tell you, the worst part about hell isn't the flames. The worst part about hell, it isn't the darkness. It is the understanding that there is no hope left. I'm asking you to compare this temporary pleasure of sin with the eternal weight of glory. Hebrews 11 doesn't stop there, and I'm almost done. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, Moses chose that rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Why is that? Verse 26. Hallelujah. Verse 26. It says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Today, I'm not suggesting that you need to completely change your life in order to not go to hell alone, but to also tell you that living for God, it will bring a reward that is greater than anything you might lose living for God. What is the reward? I'll tell you, it is eternal peace in the presence of God. It's eternal purpose. Hallelujah. It's eternal rest. It's eternal power. It's eternal glory. It's an eternity worshiping around the throne of Christ. I tell you, the reward, it is greater than anything this world has to offer. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Set your heart to make it to heaven. Set your heart to be with the Lord in eternity. Set your heart, if we can stand today. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, somebody get in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel the Spirit of God. Oh, Jesus. Continue to pray. Continue to intercede. I just have one more passage of scripture to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all, that means me, that means you, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. What does that mean? It means when it's all said and done, the rest of eternity is based on what we do today. The resting place of your soul is determined by what you do with your body. I'm going to say that again. The resting place of your soul is determined by what you do with your body. Everything that you've done, whether it be good or bad. This is why verse 11, it says this. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God. Listen, you can't hide it from God. You can hide it from your pastor. You can hide it from your family. But you can't hide it from God. Everything you've done is laid out before him. And I can tell you, I do not deserve heaven. I can also tell you that you don't either. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." It's not talking about physical death. Remember, death to this body really isn't death. It's talking about death to the soul, which is an eternity of damnation. But listen, there is a gift of God that is able to give us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus went to hell so that you don't have to go to hell. Jesus died on the cross so that you don't have to die in your sins. Jesus lived sinless so that we could have forgiveness of sin and live sinless. So today, this isn't a sermon of condemnation. It's a sermon of hope. You've got hope today through Jesus Christ. Oh, would you find a place right now to repent of your sins and call upon the name of your Savior and say, "Jesus, prepare me for an eternity in heaven, Lord God." Oh, that's right. Oh, praise God. Would you find a place down in this altar where you can call on the name of Jesus?